Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of the Weekly Zeitgeist. These are some of our favorite segments from this week, all edited together into one nonstop infotainment laugh extravaganza. So without further ado, here is the Weekly Zeitgeist.
Chris.
Yes.
Please tell us something from your search history that is a little, you know, revealing about who you are.
Okay, well, most of the time on my search history, it's really just me looking for cold brew got me like meme material. So like you could probably see me searching for things like crazy photo or 1970s keg party. But I figure another thing I search for, and because last time the metal detecting and the magnet fishing was such a hit, I figure I might as well tell you about a thing that I also search for a lot. Mudlarking videos.
What?
Okay, what the fuck is mudlarking?
Okay, mudlarking is, it's in the same neighborhood as magnet fishing and metal detecting, except for mudlarking, you don't even need any equipment. You just go, it's the Thames River in London.
Uh-huh.
Oh, it's a British thing.
And the Thames River has had cities on it, you know, active cities all along it since 2,000 years ago.
Right.
So there's 2,000 years of junk in that river.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's low tide in London, and I guess they mudlark all along it, but mostly London, they go down on the mud and look around and find stuff. And there's one woman named Nicola White Mudlark, and
is that her
she
channel
is
name?
Like the sex symbol of the mudlarking.
Whoa.
And her
Whoa.
Videos, she's like, I mean, but it's the thing is, like, her, there's nobody else. Like, I mean,
she's
by
the
default
one out here,
the
right?
hottest. I mean, she's the hot, but she definitely thinks she's sexy, like from her pictures.
Nicola
oh,
Mudlark.
Really?
Does and she have an online presence? Like,
I don't think so. But her name's Nicola White Mudlark. And what I love about going on this show also is I hope I'm driving traffic to these weirdos.
Oh, you are for sure.
I'm looking her up right now.
Nicola White Mudlark. She also goes by Tideline Art because she sometimes makes fish and stuff out of stuff she finds, like glass, like, and she finds old pipes mainly, like clay pipes, like in the 19th century, 18th century, 17th century, 16th century, mostly.
Okay, we get
they
it. 15th.
Keep going.
I have a nervous breakdown. He won't stop. He was good last time.
14th and 13th, 12th, 11th.
No,
not
but
10th.
They didn't have tobacco in Europe
right.
up until like it was like 16th century when
gotcha.
It started or something. And they so everybody smoked clay pipes and they threw them away like after one use, like these really
oh, wow.
pretty
oh,
nice clay
disposable?
Pipes. So there are. I mean, you got to figure 4 centuries of
the
like
the banks of the Thames are riddled.
Yeah.
Drunk people, all the bars were by the river. So like the river is just pretty much has an endless supply of clay pipes. That's the one thing isn't, go ahead.
Oh no, I was going to say before, I remember you talking about people who like check the rivers and like where people river raft and you were really bummed out that they were just pulling up shit like cell phones.
Yes.
And I remember, so this to you is more of a satisfying find, even if it's a little clay pipe, because you just like a little bit of history.
I
right?
was about I to agree. Say, Nicola is upset. She is a little heavy on the clay pipes for me. There are certain other mudlarkers. There are certain other mudlarkers that are, she seems to only have eyes for clay pipes.
Right,
like
right.
she finds them, and she never gets tired of finding them, and she does a sort of, and this is not a joke.
Oh, she tweeted one the other day.
She does kind of a flirty, somewhat sexual thing with pipe extraction. She's like, ooh, a pipe extraction.
Oh.
She's like, let's
ooh.
See how much pipe
Nicola.
Is on. It just might be a bowl, but let's see how much stem is left. And she pulls it out kind of slow
like,
out of the mud.
It's a long one.
I don't like that.
Okay.
I don't want any
you like
flirting.
It to the point, hi, this is a clay pipe, next.
I want to see the stuff, yeah.
Wow. I just like the idea that she's so focused on pipes, like in one of the videos, she may have just been overlooking like an actual like relic. Like
yeah.
It's like, that looks like King Arthur's sword. And it's like, but this pipe. Do you
but
see this
pipe?
Pipe.
Let's see if there's something inside the pipe. I think she's an attractive lady. I cross checked it. She's a pretty lady. She's found her niche.
I'm kind of
she's
in love with her.
Extracting shit
oh,
from her.
Let's
seems,
hook you up.
Wait,
like if I met her,
being,
I would be starstruck. First
it.
Of all, I would be starstruck
uh-huh.
because I've seen her on a screen.
Right.
Anybody you see on a screen automatically
you
you're starstruck by. So I've seen her a lot.
Uh-huh.
Even if it's on your cell phone in the subway.
I would totally. Yeah, I would freak out if I saw her. And yes, I am somewhat.
You got a crush on her?
Interested in
so maybe
Nicola.
If there's like a VidCon or something in the UK, And for she's and she's gonna be there. We should try and, you know.
I'll tell you what.
She's got kind of a consistent. It looks like she wears the same outfit a lot.
She
she's
does.
Got a mudlarking outfit.
What is her outfit?
She's got. She wears. Chris, correct me if I'm wrong, but she wears a white long sleeve shirt with black stripes on it a lot. And it seems to be like her
Steve. Like stripes.
Yeah, yeah. Like tight jeans. And she like poses sometimes pretty suggestively next to her fines.
There you go.
Yeah, she does pose with the fines. She's always wearing galoshes. So, you know, like she's at work, but yeah. she came at work.
Those galoshes are flirty and she knows it.
She's at work, but she is ready to work.
Anyway, yeah. I have a crush on her. I don't have a crush on, I'll tell you who I don't have a crush on is her friend Chill Bill, who's also a... Who is also a mudlarker, and I can't deal with him at all. And he finds good shit. He actually has good eyes, and he finds shit better than pipes. But I'd rather watch Nicola find a pipe than Chill Bill find
a damn...
Wow,
what's wrong with Chill Bill?
Chalice.
What's Chill Bill's vibe?
Off-putting?
He's just a freak. Like, yeah, he's like the dark side of, you know, not everybody who mudlarks and magnet fishes is charming, and Chill Bill is one of the ones that is not.
Oh, wow.
Are Nicola
and his
Chill
name's
Bill
Chill
friends?
Bill, yeah, which I can't
good.
Deal with.
Oh,
did Chill Bill and Nicola know each other?
Yes. They hang out sometimes.
Oh, no, collab.
Weird.
When they get in videos together, I don't like it. But then again, Chill Bill will find like an amulet while
wow.
like, they regroup, and Nicola's always like,
I found nine pipes.
It's like...
He's like, I found an old Gutenberg Bible, I think.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right.
So Chill Bill's got a good eye, but I can't deal with
good
just,
eye,
I don't
but
like
his delivery,
to look at him.
His vibe
right.
isn't good.
And then, you know, the pros and cons. Nicola, great pipe finds, a little too pipe-centric, and sometimes a little more suggestive than it has to be when you just find old pipes.
Yeah.
Hey, but look, get it how you live, guys.
Everyone's building their brand, man.
Exactly. I want to write a fan letter.
Chris, that's incredible.
I want to write a fan letter to Nicola.
You should.
This is a great
tweet
movie.
Her.
But
about
I'm not the only one. There's no way. She must have so many fan letters.
Write her
She's
an
definitely
album.
The hottest person in the mudlarking, magnet fishing,
write her a song.
Metal detecting world.
Chris, write her a song. That's how she's going to remember you.
A song where she finds me in the mud.
Yes, dude. Just an old clay pipe.
You're the greatest find of all.
Is there a stem attached? I don't even know
And we
anymore.
Make a video, like a full video, like where I actually pull CGI pulls me out of the mud.
Out of the mud. Perfect.
And I'm wearing a Speedo and I start doing karate.
All right, this is great.
All right, let's talk about the millennial and Gen Z generation. I'm guessing specifically it's younger millennials and Gen Z because there is a trend where non and low alcohol beverages are selling more and more and alcoholic beverages are selling less and less.
Yeah. And there's a few studies out there, a few polls, just sort of trying to check the drinking habits of, you know, the generations, baby boomers, Gen Xers, millennials, Gen Z. And it says that respondents that were in their teens and early 20s were drinking over 20% less per capita than millennials, who drank less than baby boomers and Gen Xers did at the same age. Right. So it's just kind of like the trend. I wonder what the comparison is between Gen X and baby boomers. It's probably, I'd imagine, maybe the same.
Probably.
Maybe
English.
A little less.
Right.
But yeah, I think you know, in this article, a lot of the things they were pointing to is that it's most likely social media because now all of these younger kids have grown up with like the all-seeing eye of Sauron of social media that like records everything into eternity,
right?
And you know, want to spare themselves the embarrassment of doing anything too stupid, but we still have Instagram pages like drunk people doing stuff that you can laugh at.
I grew up in an America where I thought I would be able to get at least as fucked up as my parents' generation,
right. Mm-hmm.
And now no, that's yeah. I do wonder how much of it is economics.
Maybe it's just because millennials are lazy,
right?
And they can't be bothered to raise that glass to their mouth that many times.
Exactly.
Well, the other
with
thing
their
always,
dainty hands.
The other thing you always hear about millennials and Gen Z is that their anxiety and social anxiety are rising. And another thing that's been coming out recently is that they don't have as much sex as previous generations.
Not me, dude.
Not right. All of this is way wrong on
me. They should have interviewed me then, man.
But that's, I mean, there's your problem right there is if you...
Do you think it might be better access to better weed?
Yeah,
that's another thing they do say. It's like weed also has a part into it too. Like,
because I know, like, I don't drink anymore, and a lot of it is social media though, because it's like I'm trying to be a professional comedian. I don't need to be drunk tweeting.
Right. Right. Exactly.
You know. So
or just
that,
doing stories where it's like a selfie video. And you're like, what?
What? And then I try to get a job on like the Daily Show, and they're like, "This is the guy you think
right,
smart."
Yeah. Right. Let's check his Twitter.
But yeah, because also like you know, weed would maybe also account for less sex, man. People are just getting stoned and watching movies. They're not boning
right.
as much.
There was this, I don't know if it's a myth or true, but in high school you say like, dude, when you're high, your wang gets like 20% bigger. Like when you have an erection, dude,
I'm pretty sure blood flow. I'm pretty sure you just had a very crafty drug dealer.
Right. Yeah. Well, I was the one selling it, so I was like the one being like, yo, this will make your dick bigger. Someone else told me.
Right.
Actually, dude, I was, my connect was like, yo, he's like, it makes it just smoke before, bro. Makes it bigger. The one thing though I'm curious is like, is that a hindrance for kids, right? Like we didn't necessarily grow up, at least when I was like in high school and college, of like the threat, the existential threat of being caught on Snapchat or whatever. And I think I was carefree to an extent. I don't know if that weighs on people or if that's just sort of an accepted thing because we live in different times. But in my mind, I'm like, damn, I wonder if that like kind of fucks you up though too. And you always, there's like this, you know, neighborhood community nanny state or surveillance state around you.
There were definitely times when I would get fucked up and then look at pictures from that night and be like, oh, I look terrible. My eyes look they're dead. And like, if I was not the only person commenting on those pictures, then yeah, I could imagine that would have been a little extra incentive to.
I also wonder though, like, because I feel like our parents, my parents' generation and stuff, like it was still a deal where you just kind of, you go through the motions of life, right? Where you graduate high school, so then you go to college, and then you meet a girl, if you're a man, you meet a partner in college, then you get married, then you start a family, and then you work. And like all these things are things that people are just sort of doing and maybe don't necessarily like it, but they're doing it, and alcohol kind of helps you cope with it.
Push through that pattern.
And I think younger people are maybe searching for a deeper meaning in life.
Yeah.
And so are maybe more like, well, if I am a freelancer,
right.
I don't necessarily need to drink the pain away because I'm not clocking into a factory job that I hate to raise a family that I didn't necessarily want.
Right. So less compartmentalizing and more just being aware.
Yeah, I think we're more likely to like, you know, drink some LaCroix and eat a little Molly and be like, what do you think our lives could be if we dream hard enough?
Right.
Well, also,
like, how chill would it be to be like a travel influencer?
Yeah. And as you referenced when you're talking about your search history, Kenny, I feel like boredom is like alcohol and sex are sometimes the solution to just boredom, just not having anything to do. And I think now that we have so much more, like, we don't mind waiting in lines because we never have to be bored. And I'm sure that has something to do with it too. It's just like there are healthier ways to pass the time than getting blacked out.
Yeah, and maybe like access to porn at a younger age is messing up our sex drives, you know?
Cause absolutely. That's another
theory, you've been
for sure.
Beating off since you were a teenager to the craziest things you've ever seen.
Right.
And then you go to have sex for the first time and it's just like missionary and you're done in 20 seconds.
Yeah.
You're like,
yeah.
This isn't
this
as
is
cool
crazy.
As. Yeah, this is sucks. Yeah.
Oh. Hey, can I bring my laptop in here?
There's your solution.
Well, let's move on to something that Lacey can get to, really sink her teeth into.
Yeah.
Because I just read a headline that basically, let me just read this headline from Daily Beast, because it explains it all right there. UC Santa Cruz student sold drugs through mobile gaming app, feds say. Now, you wonder, what are we talking about here? Well, Colin Howard, who's 18-year-old freshman at UC Santa Cruz, he's been indicted by a federal grand jury for, quote, distribution and possession with intent to distribute cocaine and methamphetamine. And the way it happened was that the investigators, the prosecutors, alleged that last fall he had developed a game, a mobile gaming app called Banana Plug. And if you know anything about UC Santa Cruz, Sammy the Banana Slug is the school's mascot. Or if you remember Pulp Fiction, I think it was John Travolta's character is wearing a UC Santa Cruz Banana Slug sweater. Anyway, that's how I first remember. Anyway, that's not necessary. It's not here now.
It's good
now,
context.
On the app, the way it worked is it would prompt users to change all the tiles, basically, to like move around like one of those puzzle tile games where you had to rearrange it to make the thing.
Yeah.
And when you put them all into like electrical plugs, you could win a game, and it advertised things like Molly and Shrooms or whatever, and it invited like the users to make special requests. So he was like slapping like posters all around campus of like, use this app. And it was a way for basically, I think, people to communicate with him on like what they wanted in a very clever way.
Let me just say, what's this man's name?
His name is Colin Howard.
Colin Howard. Shout out to a king. Okay? Shout out to a king. Let me tell you something about Colin that I really fuck with. Colin cornered his market. He said, I'm selling uppers.
Yeah.
I'm selling, you know, psychedelics. Mm-hmm. People who love video games, they love to be up all night.
Yeah.
They love a sensation, you know, they do. And so he made something. First of all, use such ingenuity. Mm-hmm. He should be in Silicon Valley, because where else is apps and drugs going to make such a beautiful marriage other than Silicon Valley?
Yeah, well, the problem is, if he's convicted on these charges,
oh no,
he is looking at multiple decades in prison.
Free my man's Colin!
Yo.
And up to $10 million in fines.
Let's get his GoFundMe started for his legal representation.
I mean, look, it's so funny, because it's one of those things where it's like, of course, like younger people now are getting even cleverer, more clever about how they're trying to go about their shadiness. And they're like, dude, I designed a fucking game. It's still, I think as of like Tuesday or Wednesday, it was still in the App Store for people to use.
It was in the App Store.
He got it on the Apple, for not even fucking Android.
His drug dealing app was certified.
Now, let me just say this. Now, remember that Stanford swimmer that they let off the fucking hook after being a grisly, gross, nasty motherfucker? Mm-hmm. This is who you should let off the hook, because Colin has gifts for the world.
Right. He should be put in an MBA program free of charge.
Free of charge. Yeah. And let him develop his skills so that he can bless us all with his talents. And you put these other nasty motherfuckers away, okay?
Thank you.
Can we at least use whiteness, right?
Yeah.
Okay? I'm assuming Colin's white.
I'm hoping.
I mean,
so he, because then he may get off.
If there's anybody who I want to get privilege, it's Colin.
Please. I mean, look, shout out to the banana app.
Have you checked? Is it out there?
The banana app? I don't know.
Banana plug.
Oh, yeah. He's a white teenager.
And we know that plug is another term for drug. The plug is the person who gets the drugs.
Yes, thank you. Oh, yeah. Please tell people, if you're not familiar with the plug.
Yeah, so the word the plug is actually who is connected, plugged in, mm-hmm. to the drugs.
Right.
Banana so plug, whoever your plug is whoever gets you.
Who sorts you out.
Yeah.
And it can be for clothes.
Supplies you. Yeah, the plug can be anything. The plug can be shoes, clothes.
Good mortgage refi.
Okay, Colin got a Cro-Magnon forehead, and that's making me worry about him a little bit. He might be a murderer.
He does have a resting murderer face.
Like, can I see?
He has a resting murderer face.
He does.
Do you have a LaCroix sticker on your laptop?
Listen.
Wow, God bless you.
And some prayer hands. Yes, Jamie.
I really leveled up. Hold on. Colin, I'm just going to Google him or search Colin Howard drugs. There he is. Okay.
Oh.
Yeah. I take it all back. Everything I just said.
I thought he would be a little, I thought he would have kinder eyes.
I retract all my statements. I delete everything I just said.
He has a very sinister
motion. He needs to go to jail.
Yeah, well, you know.
Damn, I was hoping he was going to
jail. I mean, look, if they're locking
up
kids of color for that shit, I mean, look.
Yeah, he got to go under the jail. I take it all back.
Wow, see, and like that, we 180'd. Jamie, I think it's time for an Ariana Grande update, because this is a story that intersects directly with your brand.
This is, this story was sent to me approximately 900 fucking times last week. So I figure I'll just, you know, everyone thinks it's their fucking idea. Anyways, there's Ariana Grande Zamboni news, technically a few news cycles ago, but someone unearthed this sports column from 1998 in Boca Raton. Is that how you say that?
Yeah.
Okay. That is a 5-year-old Ariana
Grande.
Wait,
hold on. How else would you have said it?
Wait, you're really going to put me on the spot?
No, I'm just curious.
I was said Boca Raton?
Okay.
Yeah.
Baca, you guessed right.
Baca,
yeah.
Right on.
Baca, right on.
I was like, Boca Raton.
I just like
so
that you were like, that's it, right?
Bloody that.
Yeah.
I just like to know what's in people's minds. When I don't know. Okay, so they found this old news clip.
So the Baca Raton, the Macarena.
Alegria, Baca Raton.
Basically, it's a story about Ariana Grande when she's 5 years old. She's on a Zamboni. It's a spectacular picture. But the story attached to it is interesting, where it basically says that Ariana Grande, she used to go to a lot of hockey games with her parents when she was young, and she got hit by 2 hockey pucks in a year. Like, this 5-year-old girl, she's just a little puck magnet.
Where was she sitting that a puck hit her?
She like grew up rich. I'm sure they had great
seats.
Had
the good seats.
But they're still glass, even on the boards. Like,
you gotta get good seats to get hit by a puck that much. That's puck privilege.
Yeah,
because didn't an announcer like have a puck fly by his face recently?
Yeah.
So she was an announcer seat.
She was in good seats. Mm. So she did get like hit by hockey pucks twice in a year, which is a rough start. I mean, you think 2018 was rough for her? She got hit by by Hockey Pucks in 1997.
Same shit. Right.
But there's a cute, yeah, there's like a quote from her dad that's like, what are the odds of this happening? It's so crazy that my daughter keeps getting hit by hockey pucks. And,
is that him like trying to, he's signaling that there may be a lawsuit?
He is just, I guess that they were bought off pretty easy. They were just like, yeah, throw her in the Zamboni and we're cool, which is a great problem solving thing.
Also,
I think.
Because she was a 2-time puck victim,
they were like, okay, let's get you on the ice.
Right, before your parents get litigious.
Wow. It's great.
Yeah. I think that they were just like, let's not upset the rich parents. Let's put the cute kid on the Zamboni and hope for the best. And it worked.
Okay. And she's a star. You know,
good
maybe
for you.
Getting hit by hockey pucks means that, you know, you got that anointment from God.
Yeah.
I've been shit on by a lot of birds. I want to know what that means.
Yes.
There you go.
When was the last time you shit on
by
a bird?
Oh, no.
Anyways, guys.
Like, wait,
reminded me of Simon Birch.
Did you just take a frozen rope, like, straight to the dome or what?
No, there was, like, a minor league team. It was, like, the team that you would go to before the minor leagues. It was called the Brockton Rocks.
Okay.
Oh. And it cost, like, $2 to go. So
the Brockton Rocks?
The Brockton Rocks. Yeah, the Boca Ratox.
The Boca Rocks.
But we would go because it cost $2 to go. And I no matter where I sat, I get fucking hit by a baseball by the minor league.
Wow.
Oh. Saul Bustos.
Because you're special.
Wait, you remember the player who hit you?
Yeah, Saul Bustos. I'll put him on blast. I'm snitching on everyone today. Like, Saul Bustos fucking beat me in the head with a, but I was fine.
Okay, well, good. I'm glad to know you've healed.
I hope Saul's doing well.
All right, well, with that, let's take a quick break and we will get back to it. And we're back. Let's get into some actual pressing news.
Sure.
Because Taco Bell.
Yes.
As everything that's pressing for me, it starts with the sentence Taco Bell.
Of course.
They have announced a new menu item. And we were talking last week, or actually the beginning of this week, about the great French fry debate and how Taco Bell's fries were like ranked as like a contender for a good, like a, on the decent end of the fry spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
So they've kicked it up a notch and they have released steak rattlesnake fries.
Fuck.
I'm excited.
Now let me tell you what it is now. They're fries.
Sorry.
Wait, just slap with cheese sauce.
Sorry, yeah. Sorry.
Steak, jalapenos, and creamy jalapeno sauce, which seems a little redundant to have cheese sauce, jalapenos, and then a creamy jalapeno sauce.
Well, let's.
Well,
be
the cheese
easy
sauce
on
is
it.
Very rigid and solid. Is the issue? It's just more of a.
It
slab.
Does change forms pretty quickly.
Yeah, yo, that's true.
It starts as a liquid and quickly becomes a solid.
It does into like caulk. Mm-hmm. Construction caulk.
You hit
cock.
The shit out of that L, yeah. And I respect you for it.
I had to because people were going to be like, caulk, really?
I know.
Caulk.
Immature.
Yeah, so, I mean, they were tested in the Columbus, Ohio area. And now, hey, Friday.
Hello.
February 28th. Hello. For a limited time only, they're going to have them. And I think we're going to have to try them because, yo, I love Taco Bell fries.
I like that this was advertised as they are once again challenging the fry paradigm.
Yeah, which is from their email.
Yeah.
Fuck you, like, dad.
Right.
I was like, holy shit. Yeah, like that's me when I say something that my mom would disagree. I'm like, once again, challenging the Jill paradigm.
Right.
This brave, new, disgusting food I'm going to eat.
I'm sure that email that had the challenging the fry paradigm line in it began with, they said it couldn't be done. Nay, they said it shouldn't be done. I present
and
to you
we are.
Rattlesnake fries. And it also comes like in a burrito form. Well, they just wrap that shit up in a tortilla.
I like that.
My only
less mess.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because like cheese fries, you have to eat with a fork.
You
or
have
else,
to.
Like, your fingers are just R.I.P. Your
will be stained.
Tips.
Yeah. Yeah. P.O.D.
I am a little stained. Concerned about the steak.
Great bands. I'm sorry, what?
I am a little concerned about the steak, but I'm always kind of concerned about the steak at Taco Bell.
Yeah, I don't. You know, I would be fine with just the whatever that crumbled meat substance is that's in like a soft taco.
Yeah, whatever the mystery, like
quote
the mystery
ground
meat,
beef.
My system is fully capable digesting.
Right. The steak, it's like
steak are chunks.
We, are we doing a lot? Taco
can I get my fries medium rare, please?
Right.
Medium rare fries.
And what cut of meat is that? Is it a ribeye?
It's poo-poo.
Oh. It's the poo-poo
part
of the...
Great. It's the poo-poo cut.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for clarifying that.
Yeah.
Well, let's...
No problem.
You're welcome. I am an official representative of Taco Bell. It's actually poo-poo.
Oh, bless you. And I want to talk, just very quickly, about a new device that I saw on the internet That I'm not sure we need, but maybe we do. And it's called the peanut butter pump.
Oh, I thought you were going for some freaky shit.
This is freaky to me.
Okay.
Okay, because I realize now that, like, peanut allergies are really out of control.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure why. I'm sure there is a study. I haven't bothered to look into why that is, because, like, one of the first baseball stadiums, like, in Connecticut, it's like a minor league ball field. Mm-hmm. They completely banned peanuts or anything to do with peanuts from the stadium.
Whoa.
Which, to me, like, baseball seems like a sport, if you have a peanut allergy, you just avoid, because it's so peanut-laden. Everything's about peanuts. It's in the songs. There's a peanut guy at every stadium that has a unique way of calling
out peanuts.
You get scissored
by the planters guy every time you go to a baseball game. Yeah.
That is one way to put it, yes.
You do.
But so this peanut pump, now I will like peanut penis pump.
Buy me some tofu and Cracker Jacks.
Exactly. It's like a pump that you just attach to the top of your Skippy jar, and you just push it out and ooze it on. Now, I kind of do like the idea, because in one way, it makes applying peanut to a slice of bread a little bit easier,
uh-huh.
and you're not using knives. And also, if your like wrist is fucked up or something, and you don't have the strength to get it out the jar like on your own, this could be good for you.
I mean, I don't see anything. The first thing I thought of when I saw it was like, oh, this would be great for cafeterias, but I guess cafeterias aren't really serving peanut butter, right?
I felt like, well, back in my day, it just used to be a big ass thing with a loose knife next to it.
Yeah.
And you would just do it DIY style of like a big tub of peanut butter. This is more sanitary.
Yeah,
and also,
more efficient. You can do it faster.
Exactly. So anyway, they were raising money on Indiegogo for like, they wanted $20,000. They already like smashed that goal.
No
like,
way.
Yeah, for $25, it could be yours. They're already like 44,000 or 45,000 or something like
Holy
that.
Holy shit.
But they want to let you know from their FAQ, yes, it works on crunchy peanut butter.
Thank
yes,
God.
It works on other nut butters or quote similar products.
Gross.
A full pump. Mm-hmm. Currently dispenses 1.5 tablespoons. Hey. Okay. Though that is subject to change in the final design, yes, it works with most standard jars. No, the pump is not recommended for natural peanut butters with oil separation.
Wow.
Again, look.
Of course not.
If you have an allergy, though, you don't want to have peanut stuff spread all over the knives and shit, I guess.
You could put it in, like, you could use it for Nutella. You could use it
for... Yeah, hey, there we go. Couple, now we're thinking.
Couple questions.
See? Make it trendy.
One question is... You're going to have to push down so fucking hard on that thing that that shit doesn't go, peanut butter doesn't go through a tube unless it's some kind of loose peanut butter.
Like it's
I've
warm,
never heard
right?
of.
I think
yeah,
it has
like,
to be
what
roomed.
What are they talking about?
I think that's part of probably what the design is. Because could you imagine if they were so short-sighted, like just take the thing from like fucking ketchup at a like a
well, they probably
Costco
just want,
and put that on.
Oh, yeah.
They probably just want the Indiegogo money. And what do they have to do to that? Do they have to give everybody who gave the money a pump or something?
Yeah,
a pump. That's all?
Mm-hmm.
So they got a lot of money.
Oh, so you
they
smell
can just use some ketchup
some
pumps. Yeah, they can give everybody a ketchup pump
shit.
And say good luck.
Okay.
The cold brew is really hitting now.
Yeah.
It's a conspiracy.
I don't think it's a conspiracy. It's making me excited about doing some kind of scam like that myself.
Right. Like, just like a thing you can't deliver on.
Like a thing that already exists,
possible.
Like a pump that you have in a ketchup thing that you
right.
can sell to people for $50,000 or whatever. Maybe yeah. not, but I just
what,
don't understand how you...
Crowdfunding, baby.
Yeah.
How
I mean,
do you...
Hey, there's, you know... Politicians are doing it. Peanut butter fans are doing it. It's the way of the future.
Yeah, anyway. Just doing bunk Indiegogo campaign.
I just think it's I have to find it hard to believe that you're gonna be able to pump peanut butter through a tube like that.
Okay, well you know what? We'll have to maybe someone will buy us one and we can do a test with
this
you.
This will be a developing story.
And that'll inspire your next bunk product, the condom remover. Ever tried to get a condom off? Well, with
of
my
tongs.
Handy tool, you're like, what the fuck?
Had the same condom on for months and months.
It's a pair of tongs.
It's just a guy like, I don't know how to get it off.
I keep putting new ones on top. Is that okay? Is that safe?
I has 9 kids. Okay.
Guys, let's talk about the fry ranking controversy that has swept our very nation. So the LA Times released a matrix that basically... ranked all the fries on a continuum of the two axes are better texture, better taste. And McDonald's is in the upper right-hand corner in terms of having a good taste, good texture. I think Five Guys is probably the
Five Guys
highest
is ranked
ranking.
Number one, then McDonald's, then Del Taco, then
right.
Steak and Shake, Arby's, Carl's Jr., Dairy Queen, Wendy's, Shake Shack, and the top, you know, top crew. I don't know, man. I like Five Guys. I get it.
Yeah,
the seasoning's
great.
Good. They use real potatoes. I like it. Feels like a real, it almost feels like it's like a restaurant fry rather than a fast food French fry. McDonald's, I think, is great, but I think there are, I'm just sort of disappointed that there's some omissions on here. Okay,
this is arguably the worst reporting the LA Times has ever done, and that's saying something.
Hey,
whoa!
Face, I mean,
what really grinds your gears about this Fry ranking?
Ah, man, I mean, I love Steak and Shake. You know, that was my high school hangout. There was a Steak and Shake we always go to. I love that place. Their fries are the worst part of the place. Come on now.
Okay,
they're like
right.
Soggy shoestring fries. Yeah.
They're super thin, right?
They're super thin.
Yeah, yeah.
And
they have the crinkle cut here.
Yeah.
That's Shake Shack.
That's Shake Shack. Shake Shacks are way better. I mean, I just, this matrix is all over the place. The waffle fries at Chick-fil-A are considered to be bad taste and bad texture, according to this. Yeah. And I just don't know how you can even say that.
The one thing I will say is I typically, when I have those waffle fries, I have to eat them with Chick-fil-A sauce. I'll never just be like, you know what? I can just dry eat these fries.
That's a good point, dude.
You know
I always dip it in sweet and sour sauce.
I always have to dip those fries. And I think maybe that's, in that place at first, I was like, no, that's impossible. But then when I really thought back, does it stand on its own if I just eat it like that?
Probably not.
That's a good point. Yeah. I mean, McDonald's is like the standard. It's like the American standard, I think, for fries, right?
Yeah. Especially if you get them a little extra crispy.
Yeah. But one thing is that In-N-Out is at the very bottom. Now, some people are like, yeah, of course, it's the worst fucking fry. I don't think it's
you doing an impression of me, by the way.
No, that's super producer Nick Stumpf was also in the same boat where he thought In-N-Out
was
shit fries.
Yeah, I don't like that impression,
man. Oh, okay.
In-N-Out sucks.
These In-N-Out fries, man, are pretty bad.
is that what it is?
No, that's just, no, that's Nick.
Oh, okay.
Doing pretend Baltimore, Maryland area. But anyway, no, I think with In-N-Out, I get why some people don't like. I don't know if it's the worst. I think Burger King is the absolute
Burger King is the worst.
I can't believe it's still open.
Yeah, Burger King in general as a concept?
Yeah. I mean, like, I've never been with someone that earnestly suggested we go to Burger King. I couldn't tell you the last time I ate it. And I have friends that are like, oh, McDonald's, we got to go. Taco Bell. I have friends that every time they see Taco Bell, they got to go. Right. I don't know anyone that's like that with Burger King.
It is true. Like, yeah, independently, there aren't many people who go, fuck yeah, pull the fucking car over. It's time to have it my way.
I mean, if you really like the Whopper, I can understand that. But yeah, there's not that many people who will ride that hard for the Whopper and their long chicken sandwich are the two things that are like decent and they're classics on the menu. But the fries, like everything else is so bad that like you wouldn't, like you can just get a...
They're doing hot dogs
half now. Decent hamburger from McDonald's with the best fries.
Well, also, you know you're in trouble as like a fast food franchise when all your marketing is centered around tricking consumers into eating your shit and them showing them being surprised that it's good. Because that's like all the Burger King commercials recently are. They're like, they're blindfolded like, oh, this isn't bad. And they're like, Burger King?
What?
Yeah, and it's like, please come back.
Yeah, dude, there's a lot of that going. I remember like Domino's had that ad where it was like, hey, our bad for everything we've been doing for the last two decades. Right. And we're all like, wait, what were you doing before?
Right.
They're like, it's better now. It's like, yeah, but what were you doing before?
Oh, Don't worry about that. Don't worry. Just they're seasoning on the crust now, so don't. Just buy it.
Except they were telling the truth. Domino's is way better now. But
yeah. I wish Jack in the Box curly fries were the representative on this rather than the regular fries.
Right.
Oh, you mean for the Jack in the Box? Okay.
Yeah, as their submission. Also, like, if they're doing crinkle fries, like Raising Cane's, I know it's not maybe not totally national, but their crinkle fries are off the fucking chain.
Yeah.
It's also like crinkle cut are always better than shoestring, right? Am I crazy? Because you get the same salty goodness, but then you get a little texture.
Yeah, a little more surface area from the jagged edges.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I still like McDonald's, even though they're shoestring. But I do like a crinkle cut every now and again.
Okay. Well.
The Thrillist also released a list, so the places there is consensus is that In-N-Out is the worst and that McDonald's is up there. But they actually had Arby's as the best fry on the Thrillist rankings.
I mean, look, it's a curly fry. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
Oh, man,
as
I
a comic
Arby's.
Who has spent a lot of time on the road eating whatever's at whatever exit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I appreciate the effort that goes into an Arby's French fry.
Yeah.
You know, it makes me feel like I'm not just at some truck stop.
Right.
You know, they took the time
with
curly fries.
What's the effort that you feel?
They season the fry. There's like a seasoning there.
Right,
you know?
But it's not that they're doing it. It just comes in that bag that they put in the basket.
I know. This is what
happens.
Yeah,
and you're reminding me of a backstory where they're like, oh,
yeah, they
just
knew
for
I was
Kenny.
Coming. Yeah. They fired up the wood-fired grill.
Wood-fired
Here comes
fryer.
Kenny. Yeah.
Throw another log on.
All right, let's take another quick break. We'll be right back.
And we're back.
Yeah.
And finally, Jezebel just caught my attention with this one because their headline was just Miley Cyrus is tripping. And I was like, oh.
Peak Jezebel headline.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like, what is going on? And in it, they discuss this new Vanity Fair write-up that she's got, where she's got really interesting takes on just marriage, gender, sexuality. And, you know, like we all know, the Jay's On My Feet songstress is who I look to for just really sort of thoughtful,
the most correct take.
Analysis.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is her take on marriage, the convention of marriage being old-fashioned. The reason that people get married sometimes can be old-fashioned, but I think the reason we got married, she's talking about Hemsworth, isn't old-fashioned. I actually think it's kind of new age. We're redefining, to be fucking frank, what it looks like for someone that's a queer person like myself to be in a hetero relationship. A big part of my pride and my identity is being a queer person. What I preach is people fall in love with people, not gender, not looks, not whatever. What I'm in love with exists on almost a spiritual level. It has nothing to do with sexuality. Relationships and partnerships in a new generation, I don't think they have so much to do with sexuality or gender. Sex is actually a small part, and gender is a very small, almost irrelevant part of relationships.
Thank you. Thank you.
There's some truths in there.
Yeah. She gets like 35% of what she's saying right.
Mm-hmm.
And then
by accident, by the way, she's accidentally getting
so
it right.
It's so unclear how much she's getting right on purpose. I was completely baffled by this entire story. Whereas like trying to like rewrite the narrative of straight, like her straight marriage is actually pretty
new
radical.
Age, right.
You're just like, no, it's not.
I didn't realize that she was queer. Is that new? When did she come out?
No, I vaguely remember that being a story. Like, I think post Bangers era Miley.
After Mike Will made it.
Yeah, she's. I
close relationship.
I don't know the specifics of that, but being like my straight marriage is actually pretty queer is just like. Sure.
Right.
Sure.
Okay. Well, you know, more power to you, honey.
I don't know. She has no problem stealing from cultures that aren't hers. So I never know what to believe.
Right.
She said.
Exactly. Right. She's like, well, I tried the hip hop thing, and I guess I can take from queer culture. Mm-hmm. We'll see. This is her talking about somehow the way Jezebel describes it says on getting married after her home burned down, in which she literally quotes Hillary Clinton's 2016 campaign slogan. Now, there isn't any mention of the home burning down, so it's just funny to think of this as being completely out of context answer. Someone being like, what was it like getting, you know, married after your home burned down? And the answer would be like, yeah, without feeling like you're putting a Band-Aid on a bad situation and saying, oh, well, you know, now everything will be better, because a lot of people use marriage, I think, maybe for a cure. But like my favorite woman in the world, Hillary Clinton, says, we're stronger together. That'll make me get emotional. That's what she meant by it. Like, who gives a fuck if he's a guy, if I'm a girl, or if he was a woman? Who gives a fuck? We really are stronger together. One is the loneliest number.
I got the eye of the tiger. whatever. Like, I don't know.
Again, of interest, I'm still processing what that means.
I view every Miley Cyrus news point. I view them all differently, and like there was a story about like when her house was burning down.
Yeah,
there was a story about her horses that warmed my heart.
Right,
and then like 2 days later, she'll say something and be like, "No, fuck her," and then it'll be like, "But her horses, I don't know, but her emails, but her horses, who knows?"
More horse stuff.
Yeah, more. Give me more horse content. Less telling me how to live my life.
And that's in general. In general, more horse content.
For all,
less directions.
Like more horse content. And less self-congratulatory bullshit.
So again, this is, and there's another part where there was like an essay section of the article. I guess I'll read that part too.
if you're going to make me, I guess I will.
If we're going to do it, because everything together just leads up to a great just overall story. It says, being someone who takes such pride in individuality and freedom and being a proud member of the LGBTQ community, I've been inspired by redefining again what a relationship in this generation looks like. Sexuality and gender identity are completely separate from partnership. I wore a dress on my wedding day because I felt like it. I straightened my hair because I felt like it. But that doesn't make me become some instantly, quote, polite hetero lady, end quote. And then a parenthetical, P.S. straight women are badass too, end parenthetical.
Yes.
My relationship is very special to me. It is my home. I feel less misplaced when we are in the same room, no matter where that is. But just because something changes in my relationship doesn't mean something has to drastically change in my individuality. What Liam and I went through together changed us. I'm not sure without losing Malibu, we would have been ready to take this step or ever even gotten married. Who can say? But the timing felt right, and I go with my heart.
Yo, the second my house burns down, I'm getting married.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
to I've a horse.
Learned. Wait. didn't all your parents get married after the house burned down?
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, that was what made them realize that they had to get married.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing we don't talk about on the show.
Insurance money because we burned down our own house. This
is like, how else are you going to pay for the marriage?
Right. In all seriousness, I mean, not to make light of the wildfires, which were horrible.
Yes.
But I'm like, if you get anything out of Miley Cyrus saying something like this, great.
Yeah.
I don't know. Seems a little all over the place.
It just sounds
to me.
Like a little bit like, you know, somebody who like was in high school and hung out with college students for a weekend.
Yeah.
And then came back to their high school and like,
I'm actually seeing things a whole new way.
Yeah. And they're like, actually, like, gender is like a construct. And then, but then can't really go beyond right. that like line.
Okay, Xander. You know,
who has
calm down.
Generally okay views,
right.
but then can't handle a follow up question to save their lives. Yeah.
Oh,
I
yes,
feel
yes.
like there was just one question. Like the reporter was like, hey, how's your marriage? And then she just spoke for 45 minutes about God
right.
knows
like,
what.
I have some
and
thoughts on Hillary
my favorite
Clinton.
Woman, Hillary Clinton, is like mm-hmm. stronger. That makes me emotional. okay. Last line. She then talks about. She's got new music coming out where she says, quote, there's psychedelic elements, there's pop elements, there's more hip-hop leaning records. You know, in the same way I like to kind of just be genderless, I like feeling genreless.
Ooh.
And then she then goes
that is
to
the
say
same.
This.
That's exactly the same.
She goes on to say this, quote, every producer I'm working with on this new record is male. There's not a lot of female producer options for me, but it's fun to be the female in the room that has the most say. Okay, Edgelord.
Hire some women.
There are plenty of women
I
producers.
I fucking hate that. Like, well, there's none, but like, it's cool that I get to do whatever I want. Like, I mean, good for you, but also hire women if you're like standing on this fucking soapbox about how good you are for women.
Yeah, I.
There's
she could find a
producers.
Woman. Yeah, they're out there. I know so many women who are producers who are musicians that you could work with.
Yeah.
If you need some suggestions, Miley. Hit me up.
Open up your DMs. Mm-hmm. We'll
yeah,
send
I'm
you
sure
recommendations.
Lenny That's will it. Send you probably a lot better work than maybe some of the people you're working with now. I don't
yeah,
know.
I mean, Miley, when was the last hit? You know, maybe fire some of those guys.
Yeah, and then again, she does go on that she says she's, quote, challenging the system as much as anything else I've ever done. To have a female pop writer that says, all right, I'm only going to write all my own songs. I don't want to share lyrics with anyone else. I just want to write what I feel.
Sure.
So, you know, challenge the system, Ma. Do your thing, Miley. Mm.
All right.
What is something you think is overrated?
Dude, Ted Bundy.
Ted Bundy.
So overrated.
Fuck
I just
yeah.
watched the Bundy tapes.
Mm-hmm.
That guy gets painted as like a diabolical genius, man. It was really just the 70s. And it, like,
yes.
they basically begged him to kill those women. I mean, the whole series, he's not handcuffed. Even after he'd escaped from prison once and
yeah.
court once.
Yeah.
The next time you see him in court, he just got his hands free. He's pacing around like, am I going to get a chance to speak? It's like,
right.
dude, you should be glad that you're not cuffed to a chair. This is insane.
Yes.
And then he literally was walking up to women going, can you help me load my boat? And they'd be like, yeah, I'm Ashley. And he'd go, hi, I'm Ted.
Right.
This guy is not a genius. He was
right.
introducing himself to people. They heard him. They had a police lineup. And then for some reason, they were like, nah, that's not the guy.
Cops were really, really bad at solving crimes back in the day.
Yeah,
it was crazy.
That was Lacey's take last week when she was just like, it was just, they didn't have technology. He was
yeah.
sloppy.
Yeah, exactly.
Nothing genius about him.
Dude, yeah. he broke out of jail, and then they arrested him in Florida, and he was like, I'm not going to tell you who I am. And they were like, this guy won't tell us who he is. Should we let him go?
All right, you got us. Now scram.
Wow. We've never faced
here,
anything like this before.
yeah, he, like, when he was escaping from prison, like, he would break out of the prison and, like, explore the place, like the jail. He would like go into the there was like an apartment above. He would like go hang out there for a while and then go back into his cell. He was like practicing.
Oh,
like that's
wow.
how that they were just like, duh.
Wow.
Well, he's back now, so
well,
yeah.
he comes back, don't worry. He'll
yeah
be back.
Yeah.
And they were like, he's so charming. It's like, no, man, he's just, because here's the thing, everyone kept being like, he doesn't fit the profile of a killer, maybe in the 70s, but now college-educated white man that feels rejected by women is the profile of the killer.
Yes.
Every time.
Right.
Every time.
I feel like it was just way, way too easy to be a white man for too long. And that's why we have the backlash that's going on right now in the country, and that's why you had Ted Bundy. Everyone's just like, well, all right. Yeah, I guess I'll help him.
I mean, he's not going to tell us who he is.
I think immense privilege might be bad for your psychology.
Yes. It was all just like everybody was their own little absolute monarch, and they just got right. to be as corrupt as they fucking
Especially
wanted.
Especially when you tell the cops, like, I'm not telling you who I am.
Right.
Later That's that insane, night,
that
right?
detective's like, dear diary, today I met my match.
All right, that's going to do it for this week's Weekly Zeitgeist. Please like and review the show. If you like the show, means the world to Miles. He needs your validation, folks. I hope you're having a great weekend, and I will talk to you Monday. Bye.